a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inquiry, in-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
As promised, House Democrats unveiling two articles of impeachment against President Trump this morning. Happened at 7 o'clock this morning, our time, charging him with abuse of power and obstruction of justice.
In service to our duty to the Constitution and to our country, the House Committee on the Judiciary is introducing two articles of impeachment charging the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with committing high crimes and misdemeanors.
We're going to jump out to D.C. right now to talk to Representative Chris Stewart for his take, Debbie, because, you know, we've kind of seen this brewing for a long time. And I think one of the things that the Republicans have said is this has been brewing ever since President Trump was elected, not just since the Ukraine phone call, but since he was elected.
Oh, I want to also play this clip for our listeners as we bring Representative Chris Stewart on the line live with us, because there was so much talk. And I think this is perhaps the biggest takeaway is when we look at the articles of impeachment, there are two: abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. But for so long, we've been hearing the word bribery, bribery. So my question is, what happened to the bribery allegation?
One day after the first public testimony, Democrats emerged with a sharper, more focused attack on President Trump, making an explicit allegation of bribery, an impeachable offense.
The bribe is to grant or withhold military assistance in return for a public statement of a fake investigation into the elections. That's bribery.
Yeah, and this was, as it even says in the articles of impeachment, that the president shall be removed from office because of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. So when they were using the word bribery, it was very specific to this wording. And the fact that we're not hearing that any longer, that it's an abuse of power instead of bribery, it doesn't say necessarily abuse of power is one of those things. It's treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors.
Okay, I just want to know what happened to the bribery. So let's get live with Representative Chris Stewart. Good morning, Representative.
Where is the bribery? Where did bribery go exactly? You know, this is just so unfortunate. It's so bad for our country. And you have to ask yourself, what is the crime? What are they charging with? I read something over the weekend, just made me laugh. They said this impeachment hearing is like a supposed murder trial where the victim is standing at the back of the courtroom yelling, I'm not dead. What is the crime here? And so they settle on abuse of power because they couldn't prove anything regarding bribery. But what does abuse of power even mean? And that's why they settled on that, because you don't actually have to prove any crime with abuse of power. It can mean whatever you want it to mean.
But Representative Stewart, I don't want to water that down at all. I mean, when the president, you know, articles of impeachment have been introduced, they spell out what abuse of power means. And in Article 1, using the power of his high office, President Trump solicited the interference of a foreign government, Ukraine, in the 2020 United States presidential election. That's a very serious allegation that President Trump is now facing. How can you defend that?
Because it's not proven. I mean, you have these allegations, both sides. It's not just President Trump. President of Ukraine says he felt no pressure. There was no conditionality on the conversation. And by the way, every American could read this. They should read it. The Ukrainians said that they didn't start an investigation, and they weren't even aware that the aid was being withheld. It truly is. Like, this is a crime that took place without a victim or the victim's knowledge. How can they argue that the president was trying to influence the 2020 election when everyone denies it, and those people who were the supposed victims were saying they were unaware of it and they weren't participating in it? It's a real stretch, which I got to tell you, and I've made this point before. If you hate this president and you don't think he should have been elected, then you think he should be impeached, or many of them do. But if you're in the middle at all on this and you think, you know, I think he's made some mistakes, and heaven knows that he has, but I don't think he should be removed from office, this process is not convincing those people. Most Americans who are in that middle ground look at this and think, it seems to be the process is unfair, and at the end of the day, I don't know that you can show me he did anything illegal that would require him to be removed.
Representative Jerry Nadler said there are circumstances where a president could be impeached where it's not illegal, and there's times when he may do something that's illegal that's not impeachable. So just because it's not convictable in a court of law, is that the standard you think we should have, is it should be illegal in a court of law?
Well, I think most Americans expect there to be some criminal activity. And if not, and this is, I think, a great analogy because it's exactly the same thing. President Obama, as we all know because it's on tape, said to the Russian president, Medvedev, he said, hey, don't criticize us right now. Wait until after the election. I mean, he said that. Wait until after the election, as if you criticize us now, I'm not going to be reelected, which seems to me to be he's putting his election ahead of American interest. And he said, then we'll work with you. Well, is that abuse of power? Because that is exactly what they're accusing this president of doing. President Obama went to the president of Russia and said, don't criticize me now. Wait till after the election. In other words, help me win, and then I'm going to work with you. And that seems to me to be exactly the same thing here. You could go through dozens of examples, which is why I started out by saying this is so bad for our country, because we lower the threshold to where every president in the future is going to be impeached. And it just erodes the foundation of the republic. Our founding fathers knew that that was possible. That's why they said, please, settle this at the ballot box. Don't have the opposing party constantly threatening the president with impeachment. It abuses the power that was that the Constitution was so protective of.
Representative Chris Stewart, will Congress impeach the president of the United States?
Oh, for sure they will. And honestly, and I know it sounds dramatic, but I mean, I think that was a foregone conclusion in November of last year. Jerry Nadler was caught on phone within a few days of them taking the majority, saying we're going to impeach this president and we're going to impeach Justice Kavanaugh. This has been their goal. This has been the objective for, you know, a year and however many months now. So yeah, for sure they're going to impeach him. I don't think there's any question, and I don't think anyone's surprised by that at all. I'll tell you what I find just dissettling is this kind of where they say, well, no, this is so sad for us. This is mournful for us. We're being prayerful about this. No, you're not. You've been wanting to do this since he was elected. This isn't a sad thing for you. You're giddy about this. You want to do this.
Representative Chris Stewart, thank you for joining us on the line. As you heard, Debbie, he says it's a foregone conclusion and has been for a long time that the House will ultimately adopt those articles of impeachment and impeach this president.
Next, I want to delve deeper into something Representative Chris Stewart just talked about. For those of us, those who are in sort of the middle on this, what does impeachment do for those of us who are in the undecided category? And is a vote for Trump a vote against the Dems? Is a vote against Trump a vote in favor of impeachment? Let's boil it all down next with our own Boyd Matheson.
Hey, Mandu Janovic.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. the struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the House introing articles of impeachment this morning against President Trump, looking ahead to the 2020 elections. We were just tossing this around. What does this do for the undecideds, the people who kind of land in the middle on this whole thing? And in fact, Representative Chris Stewart, just about 10 minutes ago, live on the line with us, he addressed that.
If you hate this president and you don't think he should have been elected, then you think he should be impeached, or many of them do. But if you're in the middle at all on this, and you think, you know, I think he's made some mistakes, and heaven knows that he has, but I don't think he should be removed from office, this process is not convincing those people. Most Americans who are in that middle ground look at this and think, it seems to be the process is unfair, and at the end of the day, I don't know that you can show me he did anything illegal that would require him to be removed.
And then, Debbie, you asked a very straightforward question. Are they going to impeach in the House?
Representative Chris Stewart, will Congress impeach the President of the United States?
Oh, for sure they will. And honestly, and I know it sounds dramatic, but I mean, I think that was a foregone conclusion in November of last year.
This question now we want to know is, what does this do for the folks who are in the middle on all of this? Let's bring in Boyd Matheson. You can hear him every day right here on KSL News Radio from 11 to noon. But we decided to get you out of bed a little early this morning, drag you in here for the Dave and Dijanovic show, Boyd. What does this do for people in the middle who haven't really decided whether they're for or against impeachment, or they're for or against the president?
Yeah, I think it's really fascinating to watch. There's actually a new classification of voters that we're starting to see. I've been working with my friend Scott Rasmussen, national pollster, and there's a new group emerging that they're actually calling the movable middle. So these are not just independent voters. These are people who are either registered Democrats or registered Republicans. They've probably crossed over in their votes over the years. But what they have chosen to do is they have disengaged from the process because of things like the impeachment process. They're so fed up with the system that their first decision is going to be whether or not to vote. It's about 21% of the voters. So the longer impeachment goes,
wow,
the more it is driven by rage and not reason, the less likely they are to really engage. And whichever party gets to the messages that move these people, which happens to be community, personal responsibility, opportunity. It's a different class. And I think the Democrats are making a huge mistake. You're already seeing this in places like Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. New polling there is showing that that movable middle is moving to the right because of the way the Democrats are carrying out the case in the House.
So can the Democrats or the Republicans undo all of that momentum by prolonging this in the Senate?
Mitch McConnell is in hog heaven, as they'd say in Kentucky, where he is from, and he is going to make this the most painful process for the Democrats that he can. Mitch McConnell loves doing this. He is going to say, you want a trial in the Senate? We'll give you a trial in the Senate. And he is going to call Adam Schiff to be a witness. He's going to call Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. And he's going to drag it out and make it very difficult and very painful. Again, sadly, that's all for political purposes. That's not to help us get to the truth.
Can any of these people that he's going to call inevitably just not show up?
Yeah, it'll be very similar to what we've seen in the House proceedings. They're going to stall and stonewall, and they're going to have to file petitions, and they're going to have to get court rulings and so on. And so it'll be a very long process that way. But Mitch McConnell will play that game, and it's a game that he's perfected over the years.
I want to talk more on that movable middle. When you said 21% of voters are in that movable middle, meaning they could go either way on this, mm-hmm, that's a huge swath of voters. And as you said, the messaging on either side has to be strong. Right now, I think Dems are losing their messaging game, and Republicans are picking up some steam.
It is not difficult to defend this president because this president did nothing that's impeachable. It's hard to defend Democrats on how they're running this House and what they're doing inside their majority. That's the difficulty that I have.
Now, that is an audio clip from just a little while ago from Representative Kevin McCarthy. That sounds very similar to what we heard just moments earlier on the show when we had Representative Chris Stewart live about 10 minutes ago. Republicans seem to be on the same message with this. And Dems, they're getting to the point where people are starting to actually perhaps feel sorry for the president.
Yeah, that's right. And that's always the test of all of this is always about the messaging and public opinion. Remember when Bill Clinton got to the impeachment phase, if you would have had to bet the farm, you would have bet the farm that he was going to be removed from office. But Speaker Gingrich completely miscalculated where the American people were. His messaging was horrible, didn't move forward. And President Clinton was great on messaging. He says, economy's working. I'm working for you. This is a distraction. And he stayed on message. And because of that, it swung 180 degrees. And within just weeks, it had gone from, oh, he's certainly going to be removed from office, to not only did he stay in office, he went out moving fast.
Yeah, they were looking just for a good old censure vote. Let's just settle on censure,
let's
folks.
Let's settle on that.
Does impeachment matter? I'm looking at it and I think, okay, when the president's impeached, and I think everyone can agree he will be impeached, mm-hmm. Does it really matter? Did it matter for Clinton? Will it matter for Trump?
You know, and if you look at it from a historical standpoint, it didn't really slow down the Clinton machine in terms of what they did and what he did in his remaining time in office. It was just one of those little things on the screen. And I think it will probably be similar in this situation because, again, it's going to be a straight party line. Remember, in the House with Bill Clinton, it was not a straight party line vote because the Democrats said, hey, if it's a party line vote, we should just go for censure.
Yeah.
And so I think that will be the big debate on this thing. And ultimately, it's going to be in the hands of the American people when it comes November of 2020, as it should be. Again, the risk for the Democrats is if Pelosi, Schiff, and Nadler are the face of the Democratic Party, not their nominee, that's a losing combination for the Democrats.
Just recapping for our listeners here, articles of impeachment introduced today or unveiled earlier this morning. You heard it here first on Utah's Morning News with Tim and Amanda. Abuse of power is article number one. Article two is obstruction. What happened to bribery, Boyd? Because there was so much talk about bribery. It really built up this case early on, but it looks as though perhaps the evidence was lacking to pull off a bribery charge.
Yeah, and again, it was also a messaging issue. They tried to do that. They tried everyone using the bribery thing, and it just didn't seem to stick or get any kind of momentum.
But now maybe it's different in a trial in the Senate, but you have to be able to have the evidence to support the charge. And if you don't have the evidence, you don't bring the charge.
That's right. And I think if there would have been anything else coming out of the Intelligence Committee that was more definitive, then I think they would have included that. For the same reason they didn't include any of the Mueller report, which was also interesting that they went back when they announced the articles of impeachment. You had Adam Schiff talking about the Mueller report, which in the end concluded that there wasn't any collusion, which again tells me they're struggling with what is the message? How do we actually message this thing?
When do you think we'll see a vote?
So the
crystal ball set.
The Judiciary Committee will vote late this week, probably on Thursday, maybe Friday, on the articles. They'll move them forward to the House. We'll get a vote on the House around the 20th.
And then next year? When is that going to end? When's the Senate side going to end?
Senate's going to be a long, drawn-out process.
I mean, are we talking February, March,
I think it'll go for a while. Yeah, it'll at least go to February, March.
All right, well, good, because I was afraid we were going to wrap up this conversation.
No, we could never. Dave, this is the end of the beginning.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.